RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. The Indonesian military TNI denies report on arrest of soldiers for weapons smuggling. Indonesian government is optimistic the target of tourist arrivals to Indonesia achieve 15 million. Now the news in details. The Indonesian military denied reports that Indonesian soldiers belonging to the United Nations peacekeeping mission in Darfur or UNAMID were arrested for carrying smuggled arms upon leaving Al-Fashir Airport, a military spokesman Major General Wuryanto told the press at the military headquarters in Cilangkapis, Jakarta on Monday that the news report is not true and the UNAMID task force was still carrying out their duties in Sudan until March 2017. Earlier on Friday, local media in Sudan reported that the government of North Darfur states has arrested the Indonesian soldiers for carrying smuggled arms when they were about to leave for Indonesia after completing their services. The report said security personnel at Al-Fashir Airport seized large amount of weapons and ammunition which was in possession of UNAMID force. Responding to the report, Wuryanto claimed that the report was untrue based on the information from some related officers in the field. Major General Wuryanto said Indonesia is involved in two UN peacekeeping missions in Sudan, namely UNAMID and Foreign Police Unit FPU. UNAMID has been deployed in Darfur since December 2007 with a mandate to stem violence against civilians in the Western Sudan's region. The Indonesian government is optimistic to achieve the target of foreign tourist arrival into the country in 2017. That was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Tourism Arief Yahya after met with President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace on Tuesday, January 24th in Jakarta. In 2017, the government has targeted 15 million tourist arrivals to Indonesia. Minister Arief Yahya said that with an estimated growth of tourist arrivals by 10% from 2016, the target of 15 million tourist visit will be achieved.
2017 naiknya 15 juta. Nah itu yang
tourist arrivals rising 15 million in 2017. Our calculation is 10% growth to 13.5 million is still safe. We still have to find 1.5 million, but we still have 11 months which should be boosted. The contribution of tourism sector to Indonesian national economy GDP in 2016 by 11%. The foreign exchange earner has reached to 172 trillion rupiah and the absorptions of 11.8 million workers. For 2017, the government has set a target of tourism contribution to the economy by 13%, while the generated foreign exchange is amounted to 200 trillion rupiah. Indonesian President Joko Widodo gave directions in a coordination meeting on the National Controlling of Forest and Land Fire 2017 at the State Palace, Jakarta, Monday. In his direction, the president highlighted forest fire in 2015. According to the president, at that time, the government had to work hard because it failed to anticipate forest fire earlier. The former Jakarta governor explained the government should anticipate forest fire so it will not happen again. Therefore, the head of states asked all regional governments and related ministries to tackle hotspots that can get bigger earlier.
Kebakaran tahun 2015.
Fire in 2015 got all of us overwhelmed completely. The fire has flared so that all we did turned out in vain. Therefore, we should anticipate to avoid it happening again in 2017. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo expressed gratitude for forest fire, which did not happen too much in 2016. The government claimed the decrease in forest fire by around 82% to 83% in Indonesia. In 2017, it is expected that the decreasing number of fire can be realized too. President Jokowi also explained that forest fire in 2015 harmed people's health. A total of 540,000 people who were dominated by children were affected by acute respiratory infection. Meanwhile, the damaged forest is predicted to reach 2.6 million hectares. Indonesian President Joko Widodo confirmed that the government would not compromise anyone who is proven to be implicated in forest fire. The head of state instructed law enforcers to take firm action on companies and other parties that still violate the use of land. Moreover, if they are proven guilty, the government will not give warning anymore, but immediately revoke the company's business permit. President Joko Widodo made the confirmation when opening a coordination meeting on the forest and land fire 2017 at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. President Joko Widodo also asked all parties, including police and local community figures, to build synergy to anticipate forest fire.
Saya ingatkan lagi, tidak boleh ada kompromi untuk hal-hal yang berkaitan dengan kebakaran hutan.
I reminded again that anything related to forest fire cannot be compromised. I reminded all private companies follow the rule. If they already get concession, please maintain and keep the area. For those who break the rule, we will take firm action. We will enforce the law. I think in 2015-2016, the companies which violated the rule were revoked, freeze, and got warning. I hope in 2017 there will be no warning. Just revoke their business permit immediately. The coordination meeting on the handling of forest and land fire 2017 was conducted to evaluate the handling of forest and land fire in 2016 and coordinate plans to control forest and land fire in 2017. Achievements in 2016 that was revealed in the coordination meeting included the decreasing number of hotspots in 2016 by 82.14% and the decreasing fire both in peatland and non-peatland. The forest and land fire until December 2016 reached 438,360 hectares, while in 2015 it reached 2,611,411 hectares. The news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. The Indonesian government remains optimistic about its bilateral relation with the U.S. following Donald Trump's inauguration as the 45th president of the global superpower, as Indonesia's main concern is its export to the U.S. According to Director of the Executive Center of Reform and Economics, Muhammad Faisal, while the U.S. trade policy under President Trump might potentially lead to protectionism, it will not significantly affect Indonesian export to the U.S. The U.S. was Indonesia's major trading partner, with trade balance reaching $19.27 billion during the January-October 2016 period. He pointed out Indonesia's export products to the U.S. are mostly sought after commodities such as rubber, shrimp and furniture, and it also includes manufactured products such as footwear and textile. Following his telephonic conversations to congratulate Trump, President Joko Widodo expressed optimism that bilateral relations between Indonesia and the U.S. will remain sound. President had earlier noted that regardless of the candidate and the U.S. public elect to be their next president, the bilateral relation between Indonesia and the U.S. would continue to be close and warm. The Indonesian government of Indonesia has issued a ministerial decree in a bid to eradicate human rights violation in the country's fishery industry. The decree is Maritime and Fisheries Ministerial Decree No. 2/2017 on a human rights certification mechanism in the fishery industry. Indonesian Maritime and Fishery Minister Susi Pujastuti said that the decree would serve as the basis for a certification mechanism. The mechanism is being established following a report by the International Organization for Migration, IOM, on human trafficking in Indonesia's fisheries industry. Minister Susi said during an event to present the report and the ministerial decree on Tuesday, January 24th, that the research report is the only publication that gives a complete and critical picture on human trafficking and forced labor in Indonesia's fishery industry. With this decree, the government will start to require all companies in the fishery industry to submit detailed reports on their workers' conditions. The last item. The chairman of the Indonesian Muslim Intellectuals Association, ICMI, Jimli Asidik, stated that the national philosophy of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, unity in diversity, could not be eliminated in Indonesia. Asidik said in Jakarta on Monday, January 23rd, that plurality existing in Indonesia as characteristics of the nation could not be eliminated. People should maintain harmony and tolerance to keep uniting diversity. He pointed out that harmony and integration have become keys to keep the national philosophy of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika. People should precisely manage the current situation ahead of regional election. Asidik hope anti-pluralist sentiments can be eradicated after regional elections. He said that President Joko Widodo was concerned about the problems of social gap. The social gap has become one of factors that trigger anti-pluralist movement. He added that ICMI welcomes the government's efforts to alleviate the social gap in the society. With regard to ICMI's activities, the Wakaf Bank would be established to boost the economy of Islamic Community Organization. ICMI also plans to create a religious harmony forum which support a wide range of interfaith scholars. Listener, that was the news. Over Air Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Nuka Kusumawati. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Indonesia's Hope to the New U.S. President. Last Friday, January 20, 2017, Donald Trump was officially sworn in as the 45th President of the United States. His leadership is expected to bring something good to the nation in the world, especially Indonesia, the predominantly Muslim country. Trump's administration is later expected to be able to foster good relations with Islamic countries. Previously, the international Muslim community expressed concern to the government because during the campaign, Trump often hinted to be discriminated against the Islamic State and Muslim. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed his hope that Indonesia with the U.S. will be able to establish good cooperation and relation. However, Indonesia will also continue to monitor the direction of the U.S. foreign policy to anticipate global reaction on the new American policy. Indeed, earlier, Trump has made a number of controversial statements relating to the policy, if elected president. It made some countries uncomfortable in responding it. For example, Trump several times said it would raise the excess on Chinese products. He has even accused China to be one-sided and unfair for it in trade relations with the United States. Consequently, Trump plans to raise taxes on Chinese products. Trump has also insisted on supporting the decisions of the UK to exit from the European Union. In addition, something that is still controversial is related to Trump's stance that consider the arrival of immigrants or refugees from the Middle East or even Muslim in general as a threat. Indirectly, Trump also attacked the policies of those countries in Europe that welcome immigrants and refugees. Apparently, there will still be many other policies full of controversy. Indonesia, as a predominantly Muslim nation, still has to think positively amidst uncertainty. Moreover, there are many problems in the world that seems to discredit Islam. Actually, the quality of the relationship between Islam and the Western world is a key to the world peace. Therefore, the U.S. administration under President Donald Trump should view Islam properly and wisely without suspicion. So the relationship between the Islamic world and the West in general, and the U.S. in particular, can be established. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll begin our today's edition of Today in History on January 4, 1916, with the birth of General Sudirman. Great General Raden Sudirman is one of Indonesia's most famous national heroes. He was born in Purbalingga, Central Java on January 24, 1916. In 1944, he joined the Homeland Defense PETA Army, sponsored by Japan, and served as a battalion commander in Banyumas. After Indonesia's independence, in a battle with Japanese troops, he managed to seize the weapon of the Japanese troops in Banyumas. After the People's Security Army was formed, he was later appointed commander of Division 5 Banyumas with the rank of colonel. And through the Conference of People's Security Army dated November 2, 1945, he was elected as commander of the People's Security Army for the Armed Forces of the Republic of Indonesia. His name is dedicated as the name of the main roads in various regions in the country. Let's move on to January 24, 1927. Director Alfred Hitchcock released his first film, The Pleasure Garden, in the UK. Sir Alfred Joseph Hitchcock is a famous British director with the thriller genre films. Influenced by Expressionism's movements in Germany, he began his directorial debut in England before finally working in the United States in 1939. With his movies that numbering more than 50 throughout the six decades of his career, making him one of the best and most popular directors of all time. His innovation and visions has influenced so many filmmakers, producers, and actors. We end today's edition of Today in History on January 4, 1939, where earthquake in Chile happens. On January 24, 1939, the worst earthquake in history in the southern part of Chile, with a strength of 8.3 on the Richter scale, occurred. The death toll is estimated as many as 28,000 people. After the disaster, the government of Chile established Development Cooperation Agency to reconstruct and rebuild Chile. Listener, that was Today in History of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with focus for today, entitling Government Forms a Special Team to Handle Anthrax. The Indonesian government is very serious to deal with suspected cases of anthrax that befall the people of Kulon Progo, Yogyakarta district. Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman was quoted by Republika.co.id as saying on Saturday that the government is teamed up with the Ministry of Health for the certainty of cases of the infectious disease in livestock. The minister explained the current situation is under control and the livestock has been isolated. Meanwhile, Director of Animal Health, Directorate General of Livestock and Animal Health, Ministry of Agriculture, Fajar Sumping Chaturasa, said the team has moved quickly to respond to the suspected cases of anthrax in Kulon Progo Regency. It has been conducting investigations and taking samples for laboratory tests as well as providing vaccines and medicine. Additionally, Fajar Sumping Chaturasa said that based on the results of field investigations, there has been a suspicion of anthrax skin types in 16 people. One cow and 17 goats have died since November 2016 and has not been reported by both by farmers and the public to the department that handles function of livestock and animal health. Further, Fajar said it was only after the case was found on human that Yogyakarta Health Office reported to the government of Kulon Progo and the Department of Animal Husbandry, which then informed the Center for Veterinary in Wates. Based on laboratory tests January 2017, it has been concluded that the cause of the cattle death was due to anthrax bacteria, namely Bacillus anthraxis, that is the cause of anthrax. Meanwhile, Kulonprogo Regional Second Secretary Assistant Triyono, as quoted by suaramerdeka.com, said, various steps have been taken to handle of the anthrax case. The district's government has also alerted the entire potential, including sending animal health post officers in southern and central regions to the affected area to monitor the case and the handling. According to Triyono, previously, there had been socialization to the public in Purwosari regarding the handling of anthrax disease. His office also gave some explanation on how to manage healthy livestock to keep it properly maintained. Listener, that was Focus for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. The Indonesian military denied reports that Indonesian soldiers belonging to the United Nations peacekeeping mission in Darfur, Unamid, were arrested for carrying smuggled arms upon leaving Al-Fashir Airport. The Indonesian government remains optimistic about its bilateral relation with the U.S. following Donald Trump's inauguration as the 45th president of the global superpower, as Indonesia's main concern is its export to the U.S. The Indonesian government of Indonesia has issued a ministerial decree in a bid to eradicate human rights violation in the country's fisheries industry. The chairman of the Indonesian Muslim Intellectuals Association, ICMI, Jimli Asidik, stated that the national philosophy of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, uniting diversity, could not be eliminated in Indonesia. Listener, that was news in brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Gorontalo Province. Stay tuned. Listener, the regional government of Boalemo sub-district, Gorontalo Province, enthusiastic to hold a variety of cultural festivals to attract tourists to come to Boalemo. After their success to hold Boalemo Wonder Festival in November to December last year, the local government immediately hold a Bulan Purnama or Full Moon Festival at Bolihutua Beach. The festival will be held in every full moon monthly. During the event, they will show art and culture of various types in Boalemo. The traditional art and culture are combined with modern art performance. Bolihutua Beach was chosen as the venue of the Bulan Purnama Festival because in addition to beautiful, the beach is equipped with various facilities. Listener, in today's segment of Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to see the beauty of Bolihutua Beach. The beach is located in Tilamuta sub-district, which was inaugurated as the beautiful Boalemo tourism object. To reach the Bolihutua Beach, you have to go to the Trans-Sulawesi Highway with a distance of approximately 130 kilometers from the city center of Gorontalo. From Gorontalo, you can use a private vehicle or hire a rental vehicle to go to Bolihutua Beach. Besides the vehicles, public transportation is also available by paying only 25,000 rupiah per person. During the trip to the beach, you will be greeted by natural beauty, coconut trees along the valley and the hills that accompany you along the way. Listener, to go to Bolihutuo Beach, you are required to pay an entrance fee of 3,000 rupiah per person. After reaching the Bolihutuo Beach, you will be captivated by the charm of its natural beauty. Green pine trees will welcome your arrival. The beach is beautiful and gentle, with white sand and soft. While enjoying the natural beauty, you will also be presented with a view of the waves that decorate the blue ocean. To enjoy the freshness of the water, you can directly swim at the beach. The special thing in Bualemo Beach is Napoleon fish, which is usually sold hundreds of thousands rupiah per kilogram. When the season comes, it is sold only 25,000 rupiah per kilogram. Listener, Bolihutuo Beach is currently equipped with tourism facilities such as water bike and motor boats for rent, tools for diving and other marine tourism facilities for tourists. The rental price for boats is 3,000 rupiah per 10 minutes. Cottage, restaurants and tourism information center are also available in Bolihutuo Beach. On the beach, there are also a number of huts and gazebos to take a rest. The restaurant usually provides a variety of seafoods and young coconut water. If you want to spend the night on this beach, you can rent a cottage with a tariff starting from 150,000 rupiah per night. So we suggest you to come to Bolihutuo Beach as your plan for a destination tour with your family and relatives. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Bolihutuo Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is di kantor pos, or in English, at the post office. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each sentence twice and you can repeat after me. Di kantor pos. Di kantor pos. In English, at the post office. Sedikit masalah. Sedikit masalah. In English, little problem. Pertama kali. Pertama kali. In English, first time. Mengirim, mengirim, in English, to send. Barang, barang, in English, goods or things. Melalui, melalui, in English, through, via, or by. Tidak tahu, in English, do not know. Paket, paket, in English, package. Membantu, membantu, in English, to help. Khawatir, khawatir, in English, worried. Pergi, pergi, in English, to go. Petugas kantor pos, petugas kantor pos, in English, post office staff. Di sana, in English, there. Luar kota, in English, out of town. Ditimbang, in English, to be weighed. Ongkos kirim, in English, mailing charge or calls. Berapa hari, in English, how many days. Sampai tujuan, in English, to arrive. Tergantung, tergantung, in English, to depend. Permintaan, permintaan, in English, order or request. Kilat, kilat, in English, fast. Biasa, biasa, in English, regular. Jarak, jarak, in English, distance. Berat, berat, in English, weight. Bayar, bayar, in English, to pay. Mudah, mudah, in English, easy. Next is a conversation on di kantor pos, or in English, at the post office. As usual, I'll say every sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. The conversation is between Ana, A, and Rita, B, at the post office. A. Ana, saya ada sedikit masalah. Ana, saya ada sedikit masalah. In English, Ana, I have a little problem. B. Ada masalah apa? Ada masalah apa? In English, what's the problem? A. Ini adalah pertama kali saya mengirim paket melalui pos. Ini adalah pertama kali saya mengirim paket melalui pos. In English, this is the first time I send a package by mail. Saya tidak tahu bagaimana caranya mengirim paket. Saya tidak tahu bagaimana caranya mengirim paket. In English, I don't know how to send the package. Apakah kamu bisa membantu saya? Apakah kamu bisa membantu saya? In English, can you help me? B. Kamu tidak usah khawatir. Kamu tidak usah khawatir. In English, you needn't worry. Sekarang kamu pergi ke petugas kantor pos di sana. Sekarang kamu pergi ke petugas kantor pos di sana. In English, now you go to the post office staff there. Katakan kamu mau mengirim paket ke luar kota. Katakan kamu mau mengirim paket ke luar kota. In English, tell him you want to send a package out of town. Setelah ditimbang, baru kamu bisa mengetahui ongkos kirimnya. Setelah ditimbang, baru kamu bisa mengetahui ongkos kirimnya. In English, after being weighed, you'll find out how much the cost. A. Berapa hari biasanya paket sampai ke tujuan? Berapa hari biasanya paket sampai ke tujuan? In English, in how many days usually a package will arrive? B. Tergantung permintaan kamu. Tergantung permintaan kamu. In English, it depends on your order. Mau yang kilat atau yang biasa saja? Mau yang kilat atau yang biasa saja? In English, you want the fast one or the regular one? Biayanya tergantung jarak dan berat paket. Biayanya tergantung jarak dan berat paket. In English, the charge depends on the distance and the weight of the package. Setelah membayar, paket akan segera dikirim ke alamat tujuan. Setelah membayar, paket akan segera dikirim ke alamat tujuan. In English, after you pay, the package will be immediately sent to the destination address. Mudah, bukan? Mudah, bukan? In English, easy, isn't it? A. Ya, kedengarannya sangat mudah. Ya, kedengarannya sangat mudah. In English, yes, it sounds very easy. Sekarang saya akan ke sana. Sekarang saya akan ke sana. In English, now I'm going there. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you to some dangdut songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Musim Hujan, Musim Kawin by Fitri Karlina. Stay tuned. You've just listened to a new single by Fitri Karlina entitled Musim Hujan, Musim Kawin. The song, which was released in September 2016, tells the story of a woman who waits for her boyfriend to bring her for a serious relationship because she loves him thoroughly. The song Musim Hujan, Musim Kawin is actually not a new song. This song was a single by Zul Zivilia Grupans. In the dangdut song of Fitri Karlina, the arrangement changed from the original one. The original arrangement is ska and reggae music genre that has turned into a remix dangdut. In terms of music, the song is quite interesting because we not only enjoy the dangdut music, but also the Sundanese music by flutes and drums. Slick arrangements makes the song blend with vocal quality of Fitri Karlina. Moreover, it is packed with witty lyrics in her dangdut music, made the song Musim Hujan Musim Kawin is more excited by dangdut music lovers in the country. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled ABG Tua by Fitri Karlina. Happy listening.
Kau sebarkan pesona ke
Listener Fitri Karlina was born in Banyuwangi with the real name Fitri Dian Puspita. Her name became popular in 2012 since she dedicated the song Abegitua. Abegitua was firstly popularized by Plat Band with Malay pop music format. Fitri then popularizes the song again, which is certainly with a sense of dangdut. Meanwhile, the music is done entirely by Endang Rais. At the beginning of the song, Abegitua, pop rock music is so pronounced clearly. The pop rock music is then packed nicely with dangdut music. Abegi is an abbreviation of Anak Baru Gede. The song tells the story of an elderly man, but still acting like a teenager who always look for love any times. Through this song, Fitri Karlina successfully brought her name in a high rank of dangdut music in the country. She was later released several albums with hit singles. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Anti Galau and Young by Fitri Karlina. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.